We're heading to Bay of Plenty now with Leah Tebbit, where ocean air meets fruitful land at the Good Farm.
Go on.
It's the first sunny day in a long time at the Good Farm, located on the back road between Welcome Bay and Te Puke. Former chef turned farmer, Lauren, is whipping through a paddock at the base of their near 10-hectare property. He, his wife Michaela, and his in-laws took over the established Milk Direct and Market Garden business 3.5 years ago.
The way it works is that I'm the day-to-day manager of the business, of the dairy cows and the veggie garden and that sort of stuff. My wife keeps me in line and makes sure that I'm at the right place where I'm supposed to be when I'm meant to be there. My mother-in-law, Larissa, she's our sort of accountant and money manager, so she tells me when I can buy stuff and when I have to stop buying stuff. My father-in-law, he's the sort of visionary of the place and the handyman that fixes stuff and maintains things when they break. He's the one I call to, you know, have a look. He's ex-dairy, so in another lifetime he was dairy farmer, so that's how the whole thing sort of panned together. He had the experience to teach me sort of how to manage dairy cows, and everything else we've just learned and picked up as well.
Because it
along.
Must have been a big change, because you've got a hospitality background.
Yeah, so I spent 12 years as a chef and then had a year off as a stay-at-home dad before we took on this. So yeah, I hadn't really done anything like this before.
You were really learning where that food you once were preparing.
Yeah, 100%. And that's, I think, why I sort of have that passion for it, is because I've worked with all this sort of food on the other end, but now I'm sort of doing the beginning part. I'm growing it and making it and bringing it together. So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's challenging. Like, when you work with nature, you basically, you're at her mercy, if you will. Basically, this area is retired from any grazing.
Because of the waterway?
So a little bit, but it's also a poor place to graze. Like, we're trying to do milking cows and there's just not really anything there for it. So what we're trying to do in this particular area is create a corridor of native bush, basically. And so there's been some established stuff you can see over there. And so we're just building on that, because it's poor grazing for dairy cows. The fact that it's right on that waterway as well is just, you know, the added bonus, and it makes sense to do that here. It's been a challenging season for the veggie garden, but pretty good for the dairy cows, you know. Like,
the Good Farm is no conventional dairy farm. A Friesian and Jersey mixed herd of 20 to 25 cows graze on a 20-day timetable through summer. It's pushed out to around 60 days through winter to supply fresh raw milk every day of the year.
We have to have a stable volume of milk year-round, which means we calve year-round. I try and get 2 cows calving each month, so they're bringing in fresh volume of milk, and I'll dry off a couple of cows, take them out of the herd, so that we've always sort of got about 16 cows in the milking shed, and always trying to push about 180, 200 litres a day.
Who's helping you in the milking shed?
I don't. No one.
You just do it all yourself.
With 16 cows, I mean, it's not a very long process, and we've got a bit of time. The main thing with the raw milk is there's a lot of cleaning and sanitising that you have to do before you can milk the cows, and so that bit actually takes longer than the milking itself. I've got a gardener that does about 30 hours in the veggie garden, and she also relief milks 2 days a week as well, so I get a couple of mornings off. Other than that, it's just me in the shed with the girls.
Do you like that? I mean, going from sort of a really quite fast-paced, sweaty environment, I can imagine a chef is, to just spending a little bit more time with yourself and connecting your feet into the dirt, and is it good?
Yeah. I've changed a lot since my hospitality days to almost being a different person. Like, after 12 years of that high-stress, intense work environment, it's taken probably a couple of years to sort of relax a little bit and not be so caught up with deadlines and that sort of stuff, because in this job, if you don't do it today, there's always tomorrow. Whereas, you know, hospitality, I had 2 deadlines every day. It was lunch service and dinner service, and if you weren't ready, you're, you know, a bit stuffed. Being able to sort of relax a bit more into that, it's taken a while to chill out.
Because how long has this been?
So we've been here 3.5 years, and before that the guy that set it up, he was here for 5 years. So, like, the business itself has been really well established, and it's got quite a big following, you know, like...
Well, when I drove in, like, 3 cars came right behind me.
Yeah,
so
yeah, and that's what it is every day, is people just roll through. All throughout the day, there'll be cars coming in, grabbing their milk, and hopefully some veggies when we've had it.
All right, should we go check out the veggie garden
then? Yeah, yeah.
You're going to come? Come on. Come on.
We'll check out the dairy shed with a difference soon, but we're off to find out about the other side of the business, a market garden using organic principles that has quadrupled in size since Lauren took over the business. You'll also find Bree in the garden most days, using her permaculture knowledge to grow rows on top of rows of leafy greens, root vegetables and tomatoes, if the season treats you right.
Sorry, Bree.
So there's a lot to take in here really, isn't there?
Yeah. What we do is a no-till garden, so we don't dig our soil over. What that tends to do is destroy the fungi and the microorganism structures in your soil. The idea is to really facilitate that microorganism life that is what healthy soil should be. It's a work in progress, you know. Like.
So when you expanded or quadrupled the garden, did that also quadruple the produce that you were... growing, or was it in terms of the different types of produce?
To some degree we did sort of expand a little bit, but we've found that by having too many varieties of vegetables it becomes a lot more work. This last year, the last financial year, is the first time the garden's really sort of started to hold its own rather than being propped up by the milk. So the milk's the main part of the business, it's what makes everything sort of work, and we've had to try and expand the veggie garden so that we can increase the production to be able to pay for itself, because it's a lot of work in the veggie garden, and you know, it's about 60 hours of work in the veggie garden a week, and so trying to be able to make it pay for itself has been sort of the goal. So yeah, in terms of what we grow, we're trying to do mainly quite high turnaround crops that are ready within a sort of a 3-month period. We're doing sort of the baby style carrots, we've done beetroot, spring onions, broccoli, a little bit different. We're using a specific variety. We can do multiple cuts from a single plant. A lot more beneficial when you can get 10 harvests out of a plant instead of just taking off...
Yeah, a lot more productive.
Yeah, just taking off that main top big head. One of our biggest sellers has definitely been the garden salad mix that we do. Given maybe 10 or 12 different varieties of lettuce, then we'll put in things like Swiss chard, spinach, parsley, kale... And then I'll forage any of the sort of edible herbs that are in the garden as well. So things like sheep sorrel. And then we'll put flowers in there as well. So we've got edible flowers throughout the garden, the marigolds and the calendula and cornflower.
And you do bananas as well. There's banana plant over there.
Yeah.
Trying to do bananas.
I got my first bunch this summer. And we'll see if they actually ripen or not.
You see that too. This is the banana palms. That was my sort of first clump.
Oh wow, there's actually way more than I realised from afar.
They really start to just, they'll shoot out new shoots all the time, and apparently once they've fruited once, that'll be them done. So you cut that out and allow space for them to grow new shoots, so they'll only sort of have one flower.
But it looks like we've got another one flowering. I've noticed this here, that's the outside of a flower there.
There we go.
Look at that. Beautiful. Massive, massive flower.
Oh,
with
yeah.
All the new bananas coming
out. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Pop your head around here, you'll see what I'm trying to do to ripen that first set we had is the plastic bag.
Yeah.
So just trying to create that warm, humid environment that it should sort of naturally have to see if I can get them to ripen.
We've had quite a cool couple of nights. We'll be struggling to get them to ripen.
We say hi to 8-month-old Wessex Saddleback pigs.
So we've got Thunder, there's the big black one, and Biscuit, named by the kids.
Before heading to the shed.
All right.
So this is one of the tidiest looking milking sheds I've been in a while.
One, it needs to be. For the raw milk that we're doing, there's a whole lot of regulation around the cleanliness and minimising any kind of contamination, so maintaining a clean workspace is kind of key to that. But on a more practical level, if you just turn around, you can see that's where our customers come in. Especially if it's their first time here, they're going to chuck their head over the fence and see what's going on. And if you're coming in to buy some food, you look into the milk shed and it's just a grimy mess, is that going to make you want to eat or drink that milk? Probably not. So the theory on that is if we can make it look clean and presentable, then it's more appealing in the end for selling our product.
So how many cows can you do at one time? Bearing in mind you're a one-man band.
One-man band. So this is an eight-a-side herringbone. So we get eight that side, eight on the other side. I can squeeze 18 in. I don't really like doing it because it is a bit of a squeeze. But yeah, 16 is our sort of sweet spot. If we've got the calving spread right and got them all at their right levels of production, then it produces enough milk for us to sell in the shop.
And I mean, how much is your milk production that you're sort of averaging?
So our target is about 180 litres a day. So what we're trying to do is just manage it so that we're always sort of sitting on a level. So we'll always have a couple of cows that might be only doing sort of 5-7 litres. We should always have a couple of cows that are doing sort of 20 litres for us, and then the rest are sort of in between that sort of 10 litre mark. So it's just being able to try and manage that so that we do stay there. That's been our biggest challenge, and we've nearly nailed it.
Raw milk isn't heat treated as pasteurised is to kill bacteria. It means the Good Farm can only sell from the farm gate, which they do in a vending machine style. And it means Lauren has different practices than your average dairy farm.
The major difference is what we do before we milk. So we have to just ensure that the udder and the teats are free of any dirt, poo or contamination before we milk them. So I'll use a hose, I'll clean them all the teats off. Then I have a pre-milking sanitizer, so I'll spray each teat and then dry each teat with a paper towel. Then I'm ready to milk. The bigger difference is what happens to the milk after. With our milk, it goes through that filter. It's like a coffee filter, just a paper sleeve, and then it goes through a water cooler. So that's lots and lots of metal sleeves, basically. Milk travels along one side of it and cold water travels the other side, and that's how it cools it down.
So this is the deal.
The chilled water flows on the other side, so it's pumped through so that the chilled water is always chilled and the milk is always cooling as it goes through.
And from there you just bottle it straight away?
So we don't bottle it.
Oh.
So it goes into this vat, which is a 250 litre vat on wheels that I can wheel around, and I'll go and roll that into our fridge dispensing unit, and people will bring their own bottles, put the money in, hit start, fill up their milk.
Like a fridge, like water, you know, but it's
maybe,
milk?
But milk? Let's see it.
Let's
see. We might even have a customer in there.
This is the unit.
So it is just a big fridge. I'll put it up here. There's our vat, just a big fridge with a few tubes on it. And
you can either put coins in here, or we do tokens as well, which is like a credit stick.
And it just comes out straight like that?
Yep, just like that. It's cold, so it's sitting at 4 degrees, milk from this morning. That's all that happens to it. Depending on sort of the time of the year and what cows have calved and are in the herd, it can be really creamy. You know, with more Jerseys in our herd, the milk gets a lot more creamy. With more Frisians or the cross cows, less creamy, but maybe a bit more volume to it. So trying to get that balanced in with everything as well. So you got to think about getting the right cows and calf to make it so the milk kind of stays the same year round as well. Really difficult. The feed always changes, you know, different seasons, they produce differently, so it's a real juggling act.
Lauren Gibbs there of the Good Farm in Welcombe Bay, the only raw milk provider in the Western Bay of Plenty. Lauren says he even has a loyal customer from Taumarunui who buys milk every couple of weeks. You can go to our webpage for pictures of their milk vending machine at rnz.co.nz/countrylife.